Tom Vaughan Radio. Doesn't kill you, makes you Este verano sigue conectado con Vaughan Radio. Este verano no abandones tu inglés.
¿Cogieron el contrato de la mesa? Sí, lo cogieron.
Did they pick the contract up from the table? Yes, they did.
¿Recogió a su jefe de la estación de autobuses? Sí, lo recogió.
Did he pick his boss up at the bus station? Yes, he did.
¿Cogimos las cajas? No, no las cogimos.
Did we pick the boxes up? No, we didn't.
¿Recogiste a los empleados? No, no los recogí.
Did you pick the employees up? No, I didn't.
¿Cogiste el uniforme de la silla? Sí, lo cogí.
Did you pick the uniform up from the chair? Yes, I did.
¿La recogiste del aeropuerto? No, no la recogí.
Did you pick her up from the airport? No, I didn't.
¿Le recogieron de la estación de autobús? No, no le recogieron.
Did they pick him up from the bus station? No, they didn't.
¿Lo recogiste? Sí, lo recogí.
Did you pick it up? Yes, I did.
Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio. Nos hemos propuesto que nadie abandone su inglés este verano. Y es por eso que queremos ponértelo muy fácil, ofreciéndote grandes descuentos en los cursos y programas con el método Vaughan que más demanda tienen en verano. Así que ya lo sabes, este verano no abandones tu inglés. Entra en grupovaughan.com o llama al 911-335-831.
Hello, friends, and welcome. It's Friday. It's the Friday edition of the Drive Time Show here on Vaughan Radio. It's 100.4 FM in Madrid and all around the country, all around Spain, and including in. We also have a frequency in. Well, if we have frequencies all over, everybody. We are in Madrid 100.4. Santander 106.0, Zaragoza, Vigo, Valencia, Bilbao. So many places, so many ways to enjoy Vaughan Radio, and I'm glad to be with you this Friday afternoon. And we're going to talk about, lots of things, including a little bit of history. We're going to look at Richard Petty. Richard Petty, P-E-T-T-Y, who was a NASCAR driver. Un conductor de NASCAR, which is very popular in the United States, probably more popular than Formula One in the United States, and he had his 1,000th race on this day in 1986. We'll have a look at the life of Richard Petty. Also, Ella Fitzgerald died on this day 22 years ago, 1996. The great singer Ella Fitzgerald, the First Lady of Song, they called her. We'll have a look back at the life of the great Ella Fitzgerald on the program today. It's also National Flip-Flop Day. Flip-flop. Flip-flop. Las chanclas. El Día Nacional de las Chanclas. So Juanjo is celebrating with his flip-flops on. And we'll see, we'll talk a little bit about the origin of this strange national day. We've got grammar, we got pronunciation, challenges, interactive sections. Oh my gosh, there's lots of wonderful things to talk about on the Drive Time show today. So let's get it started. My name is Kyle Miller and welcome to Drive Time.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Drive Time Show. It's Friday. It's the Friday edition. We're halfway through June already.
Ahí estamos a la mitad del mes, de junio.
We're in the middle of the month. We're halfway. We're halfway through. We are at the midpoint. People often confuse middle and half, right? If I eat half of a pizza, la mitad de la pizza. 50%, right? Is half. But if I say I eat the middle of the pizza, it's like saying que comí el centro. Y nada más. Qué raro, ¿no? Yeah. I ate the middle. No, I didn't eat the middle of the pizza. I ate half the pizza. Half. So half and middle. Be careful. People confuse those words. So half, 50, it means 50%. Middle means the center. Right? If you're playing darts, you try to hit the middle of the board. It's called the bullseye. Exactly. To hit the bullseye. Okay. Jugando los dardos, ¿no? Y das en la diana. You hit the bullseye. To hit the bullseye. I don't like that expression, en la diana. Pobre diana. You hit the bull. Vaya. That's not very nice to hit. Anyway. But in English, to hit the bull, como el ojo del toro. The bull's eye, which also is kind of strange, but that's the way we say it. Okay, anyway, let's begin today's Drive Time show the way we always do with an interactive section. That's right, the Twitter translation.
Twitter translation.
Doot, 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 doot. That's right, the Twitter translation. And today, I'm going to give you a sentence in Spanish and you can write in. You can write in and tell me in English what it is. Tell me how to say it in English. And we'll talk about it in the second half hour of the show. But if you want to participate, Juanjo, how can they find me on Twitter?
Tweet Kyle at I'm Kyle Miller. O lo que viene siendo IM Kilemillar.
All right, everybody. The Twitter translation. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Encajó las noticias bastante bien. Encajó las noticias bastante bien. Encajó las noticias bastante bien. How would you say
perfecto.
That? Eso, perfecto, claro que sí. How would you say that in English? Tell me how to say it in English. En inglés. Yo en español, tú en inglés, ¿vale? So write in, tell me how to say that in English, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on. Un poco más tarde, a little bit later on. Oh, also, I want to say, I have a little message here. This afternoon, I appeared on the program ¿Qué me estás contando? On the Basque television, on Channel 2, en el País Vasco, and on the second channel. And I want to thank the team for having me. John Aramendi and the whole team there. We had Maria Diez, Miguel Alonso, Cristina Lage, and Aneko Van Hornbeke. Oof. Van Hornbeke. But I want to thank the whole team, especially the presenter, John, who was very courteous. And I really enjoyed it. And it was, ¿Qué me estás contando? Is the program. And so I was talking a little bit about the importance of English and a few tips for learning English, consejos para aprender inglés. And if you want to see the section, you can find it on the internet. You can search. I don't know the name of. I've got to find the exact name for the of the page that it's on. But I know they do have a player where you can. You can watch the videos again. I haven't seen it myself, but it was just a while ago. It was just about an hour and a half ago. So, but I'll share it on Twitter. I'll share it next week. And but I want to thank all the. I want to say eskerrik asko to my friends in the País Vasco. Eskerrik asko. Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Muy bien, amigo.
Eso es, claro que sí. So thank you very much, John Aramendi, and the whole team there at Que Me Estás Contando. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, let's go ahead and get warmed up with today's Drive Time show. Let's step into the warm-up gym.
The warm-up gym.
Warming up. Calentando motores un poquito. All right, let's get warmed up with a few sentences of translation, okay? Number one, dile que espere mi decisión. Tell him to wait for my decision. Mi decisión. Tell him to wait. Dile que espere mi decisión. Eh? Tell him to wait for my decision. Tell him to wait for my decision. Number two, les conté tu versión de la historia. Les conté, I told them your version of the story. Tu versión de la historia. Les conté tu versión de la historia. I told them your version of the story. Alguien va a tener que llamarte. Alguien va a tener que llamarte, ¿eh, Juanjo? Someone is going to have to call him. Llamarle. Someone is going to have to call him. Call him. ¿Me puedes sumar estas cifras? Can you add these figures up for me? Oye, ¿me puedes sumar estas cifras? So, sumar, to add, claro, to add, but also to add up. I've talked about this before. In fact, about a week ago, I was talking about this. How very often the preposition up doesn't add anything. No dice nada. Up. Call me. Llámame. Call me up. I called him. I called him up. Right? I fixed it. I fixed it up. ¿Me puedes sumar estas cifras? Can you add these figures up for me? Okay. Now, cifras, figures, figures. Okay. Number five. ¿Quién tuvo la genial idea? Who had the great idea? Oye, ¿quién tuvo la genial idea de hacer eso? Who had the great idea to do that? Number six, no me mires a mí. Don't look at me. No me mires a mí. Don't look at me. No me mires a mí. Don't look at me. Look at, mirar, look at, right? Don't look at me. Number seven, no fue culpa mía. It wasn't my fault. No fue culpa mía. Right? It wasn't my fault. So this is a good sentence. No fue culpa mía. It wasn't my fault. No me eches la culpa. Don't blame me. So the verb to blame is echarle la culpa a alguien. To blame someone. Don't blame me. Hey, don't blame me because it's not my fault. Porque no es culpa mía. It's not my fault, so don't blame me. I shouldn't be blamed. So we have fault, which is a noun, and blame is a verb, and guilty, culpable, is guilty, which is an adjective. He's a guilty person. Who's the guilty person here? Who's the guilty one? But el culpable, the response, or also, well, who's responsible for the accident, or who's guilty of the crime, you could say. Okay. So, no fue culpa mía. It wasn't my fault. Number 8. Nos costará una fortuna. It will cost us a fortune. It will, nos costará. It will cost us a fortune. It will cost us. Nos costará. It will cost us a fortune. Una fortuna. A fortune. Chin, chin, chin. Fortune. Los papeles estaban por aquí esta mañana. The papers were around here this morning. Los papeles, eh? The paper. ¿Dónde están los papeles? I don't know. They were around here this morning. Estaban por aquí. Around here. They were here, more or less here. They were around here. Por aquí. They were around here. The papers were around here this morning. Nada de lo que él dice es cierto. Nothing he says is true. Nada de lo que él dice es cierto. Nada, ¿eh? Nothing he says is true. True. Cierto. True. Y la verdad, the truth. Di la verdad. Tell the truth. Is it true or false? Right? Is it true or false? The truth. There's nothing more true than the truth. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Nothing he says is true. Number 11. We'll do two more. Dos más. Couple of bonus questions. He intentado todo. I've tried everything. He intentado todo. I have tried. He intentado. I've tried everything. Number 12. Haré lo que sea. I'll do anything. Pero lo que sea, ¿eh? I'll do anything. Cualquier cosa. Lo que sea. Anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll talk to anyone. I'll try anything. Any. So I'll do anything. Yesterday I was explaining to a group of students about questions using the word any. Is there any Coca-Cola in the refrigerator? Hay Coca-Cola en la nevera. Is there any Coca-Cola in the refrigerator? Yes. Yes, there is. Would you like some? Think of that. Think of that sentence. Is there any Coca-Cola in the refrigerator? Yes, there is. Would you like some? ¿Quieres un poco de Coca-Cola? Is there any? Yes, there is. There is some Coca-Cola. Would you like some? ¿Quieres un poco de Coca-Cola? Would you like some Coca-Cola? So we have, because people often say, oh, any in interrogative. No se puede usar el some en el interrogativo. And that's not correct. I'm just, wait, would you like some Coke? It's a question. I just used some. So what is the rule for all of you who love rules? What is la regla? Well, the rule is, you use any when you're questioning the existence of something. Si hay algo. Is there any? Is there any Coca-Cola in the refrigerator? Is there any water in the bottle? Are there any chairs in the room? Are there any microphones in here? Yes, there are. There are 7 or 8 microphones. Any. Because we're questioning existence. But then once we know that something exists and we're offering it, would you like some? ¿Quieres un poco de Coca-Cola? Would you like a book? Do you have any books? Yeah, I have a bunch of books. Would you like a book? Yes. Would you like one? Or would you like some books? Okay. So it's not always a question of any always being exclusive. The only way to ask a question. No. We can use some as well if you're offering some. Okay, anyway, we should be all warmed up. I know we have a lot of people writing in with our Twitter translation, but we're going to get to that a little bit later on in the show. Let's push forward and have a look at today's expression of the day.
Expression of the day.
All right. Expression of the day. Yes, our expression of the day today, everybody, is to fly off the handle. To fly off the handle, which means to basically go to lose your patience and to get very angry all of a sudden. To suddenly become very angry. Muy enfadado, pero de repente. Why? What? To get really angry. To fly off the handle. To lose control. And apparently the origin of this goes back to the 1800s. And it apparently comes from poorly made axes. Una hacha, an axe. One axe, two axes. Poorly made axes in the 1800s that would literally detach from the handle. So imagine you you swing the axe to cut down a tree, para talar un árbol. You swing the axe and the axe flies off the handle, and it's a problematic situation. You could say, oh, it flew off the handle. They would say, well, look at him. He flew off the handle. He went crazy. He flew off the handle to get angry. It's all of a sudden aggressive and angry. Okay? All right, let's push forward and see what people are talking about in the online world. I'm talking about our trending topic.
Trending topics!
Yes, our trending topic, it's National Flip-Flop Day, everybody. El Día Nacional del Flip-Flop. Flip-Flop. National Flip-Flop Day. And it is trending. People are talking about, what is a flip-flop? Son las chanclas. Las chanclas, right? So if you're tired of keeping your feet in those shoes all day and the weather's hot like it is today in Madrid, you might want to wear flip-flops. You know, these are, I guess you say las chanclas, you know, the open toe. People have been wearing flip-flops for thousands of years. And the earliest wearers were the ancient Egyptians back in 4000 BC. So they're like sandals, right? Since then, these sandals have been worn throughout the world and have become a favorite for people enjoying a relaxing day at the beach or walking around in the sunshine. Flip-flops got their name because of the slapping sound that they make against the ground when you walk in them. Flip-flop day. I say national, but this is in the United States, in fact. It's not in Spain, but hey, we can celebrate, right? It was founded by a cafe called Tropical Smoothie Cafe, where customers who visited the cafe on flip-flop day, wearing flip-flops, got a free smoothie. Una smoothie, you know, one of those drinks. And not only does the cafe give its customers a free drink and the chance to air their feet, it also uses flip-flop day to raise money for a charitable organization. So there you go. National Flip-Flop Day. It's kind of crazy how they have these national days for everything. There's a day for everything, it seems. Anyway, we have a couple minutes before our break. Why don't we have a look at some vocabulary? Let's take a look at some vocabulary from the sky. Take a look at the vocabulary, but we're going to take a look up al cielo because we're going to talk about aeronautics today. Aeronautics. Right, like airplanes. Casa. Por ejemplo, la caza. Fighter plane. Fighter plane. We say fighter. Cohete. Bueno, cohete, rocket. Bueno, cohete espacial, right? A rocket. Rocket, R-O-C-K-E-T. Helicóptero. Helicopter. Helicopter. El avión. Airplane. Airplane. Hidroavión. Seaplane. We could say a seaplane. Avioneta. Avioneta would be a small plane or a light, light aircraft. Like, for example, a Cessna. I've flown in those. The tiny model, the Cessna, which is a little like a two-person, or I can hold maybe four people, but a tiny little personal plane. Avioneta. Dirigible. Dirigible, you say, but a Zeppelin, like the band Led Zeppelin. Dirigible de plomo. Led Zeppelin, like the band. Hot air balloon. El globo, right? Aerostático. Globo aerostático. Hot air balloon. 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 Yes. Y paracaídas, of course. Parachute. 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 Okay. But yeah, we have this idea of the Led Zeppelin, and it's true that the members of Led Zeppelin, Led Zeppelin, right? We English Led Zeppelin, Led Zeppelin. They were in a band together. Many of the members were in a band called the Yardbirds before. Jimmy Page was in that band, I believe, and Jeff Beck, who is also a fantastic guitarist. I don't know if Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones was eventually in that, was in that band at some point. Maybe, I'm not sure about that. Don't quote me on that. But anyway, the band sort of broke up and they reformed. They were going to call themselves the New Yardbirds. And a music critic said, that band will fail. You'll go down like a Led Zeppelin. And they thought, huh, well, that's an interesting name. Led Zeppelin. Let's call our band Led Zeppelin. And the rest is history, as they say. We're going to take a break, everybody. I'll be back in just a few minutes with the second half hour, so please don't touch that dial.
Los cursos intensivos de verano de Vaughan son diferentes a otros cursos intensivos de verano. En nuestros cursos intensivos de verano, nosotros no metemos entre 10 y 12 alumnos en cada clase. Nosotros tenemos un máximo de 6 alumnos por clase. En nuestros cursos intensivos de verano, no somos rígidos, somos flexibles. Puedes hacer un curso de 1, 2, 3 o 4 semanas, como tú decidas. En nuestros cursos intensivos de verano, no somos teóricos, somos prácticos. En nuestros cursos intensivos de verano no damos lecciones, motivamos. En nuestros cursos intensivos de verano, nuestros profesores no son los protagonistas de la clase. Nuestros alumnos lo son. Los cursos intensivos de verano de Vaughan, porque somos diferentes. Vaughan, we love teaching, you love learning.
Ven a Vaughan, disfruta el verano con Vaughan. Más información en grupovaughan.com. También disponible en nuestra delegación de Madrid en la calle Arapiles 18. Más información en el 914445846. Este verano descubre nuevos sonidos. Este verano con Vaughan Radio. Este verano no abandones tu inglés.
Echo de menos esas clases por teléfono. Echo de menos esas tardes de clases en grupo. Echo de menos esas risas cuando nos equivocamos o pronunciamos mal. Echo de menos el repeat again. O el ask me. O el tell her to tell him to ask me. Sabes que me vas a echar de menos, que luego te arrepentirás. Entonces, ¿por qué me abandonas?
Este verano no abandones tu inglés. Y es por eso que queremos ponértelo muy fácil, ofreciéndote grandes descuentos en los cursos y programas con el método Vaughan que más demanda tienen en verano. Entra en grupovaughan.com o llama al 911-335-831. ¿Tienes niños? Pues, ¿qué mejor forma que aprendan inglés que haciendo lo que más les gusta? En nuestros campamentos de verano en inglés se divertirán participando en un sinfín de variadísimas actividades en un entorno seguro y 100% angloparlante, acompañados en todo momento de monitores Vaughan. Campamentos de verano para niños, con un 10% de descuento. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com. Este verano, no abandones tu inglés.
Los cursos intensivos de verano de Vaughan son diferentes a otros cursos intensivos de verano. En nuestros cursos intensivos de verano, nosotros no metemos entre 10 y 12 alumnos en cada clase. Nosotros tenemos un máximo de 6 alumnos por clase. En nuestros cursos intensivos de verano, no somos rígidos, somos flexibles. Puedes hacer un curso de 1, 2, 3 o 4 semanas, como tú decidas.
Entra en grupovaughan.com. También disponible en nuestra delegación de Madrid en la calle Arapiles 18. Más información en el 914445846. Nos hemos propuesto que nadie abandone su inglés este verano. Y es por eso que queremos ponértelo muy fácil, ofreciéndote grandes descuentos en los cursos y programas con el método Vaughan que más demanda tienen en verano. Así que ya lo sabes, este verano no abandones tu inglés. Entra en grupovaughan.com o llama al 911-335-831.
Everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the Drive Time Show on Vaughan Radio here in Madrid. Well, I'm sitting in Madrid, but you can listen to me anywhere in the world. Like I have Valentino, who wrote in 2 minutes ago, hace dos minutos, from Haiti. And just, it's a wonderful world, isn't it? It's a wonderful world, that of media. Just a few hours ago, I was on the Basque Channel 2. I was on the program ¿Qué me estás contando? On Channel 2 in the País Vasco, ETV2. And in fact, if you go to their website, you can see it, etv.eus, etv.eus. And you can see the full, you can see the video there. You can see a video of the appearance, and you can, it was a little discussion about the process of learning English, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Yes. Anyway, also I have another little message, un pequeño mensaje, a little bit of a message for you. I don't think Juanjo knows this yet either. Incluso Juanjo no sabe, but no, I'm going to be, doing a new show on Monday. Nuevo programa el lunes. Voy a hacer el programa de Alberto Alonso el lunes. ¿Eh? Oh, pero es en serio. Yes. So at 10:30, at 10:30, yeah, they're calling it Summer Fun, I think, is the show that folks are calling. Is everybody calling it that? Todo el mundo lo llaman así. Da igual. It doesn't matter who's presenting it. So they're calling the show Summer Fun. And, we're sort of helping out. In the absence of our good friend Alberto Alonso, we are, different people are filling in. So I'm going to take the reins on Monday, and I'm going to present the show. So it'll be a different show. It won't be the Drive Time show. It'll be a different show, different sections. I don't even know what I'm going to do yet. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I haven't talked about. Well, we can play music, right? We can maybe play and talk about music. That's what I'll do a lot of, I think. And, oh, is this the music for
Welcome
it?
Welcome to Summer
there
Fun.
It is. Summer Fun, everybody. That's the sound of fun, right? Suena a diversión, no? Summer Fun. That's what fun sounds like. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, I'll be hosting that show on Monday. So tune in on Monday. I don't even know what I'm going to do yet. I haven't thought about it. I just got offered to do it about a couple of hours ago. So I'm going to do that show on Monday. It should be a lot of fun. We'll have some summer fun. How about that? Monday morning at 10:30 here on Vaughn Radio. And anyway, let's go ahead in this half hour and let's take a look back a few years. Let's go back to 1986 in a section we call Today in History.
Today in History.
Okay. All right. Yes, everybody. Richard Petty. 1986, Richard Petty made his 1,000th start. 1,000th start for Richard Petty. And this was, of course, Richard Petty was a great racer in NASCAR. Now, in the United States, NASCAR is more famous than Formula One. But imagine starting 1,000 races, 1,000 carreras, 1,000 races. And Tom Petty grew up basically on the NASCAR circuit. His father was Lee Petty, who was a Hall of Fame driver and one of stock car racing's pioneers. So stock car, they do this in my hometown as well, stock car, S-T-O-C-K. So the idea is that you take what's kind of like a normal car. I think you have to begin, I'm not an expert, but I think you have to begin with a normal car, what could be purchased for a normal person. It's not specially made, they're not specially made cars for the races, but then you adapt them. They add engines, you know, special higher powered engines. But I think the idea of stock car is that it's theoretically something that anyone could have or anyone could do. They call it stock cars. So his father, Lee Petty, was a pioneer of stock car racing and a three-time winner of the Grand National Championship for this type of racing in the 1950s. And Richard, when he was only 12 years old, Richard Petty became the chief of his father's crew. But he wasn't allowed to drive cars until 1958 when he turned 21. Now, Richard and Lee both raced in the inaugural Daytona 500 the following year. Lee won the event. And little Richard's engine blew after 8 laps. He lost his engine. But by the late 1960s, Richard Petty had become the dominant figure in stock car racing. He won his first Daytona 500 in 1964, just a few years after his father was knocked out of the race after a near-fatal crash. Near-fatal. Fatal no, pero casi. Near-fatal crash. In 1967, Richard Petty won 27 of the 48 races that he started. So very impressive. More than half the races he was in, he won, including a record 10 straight victories. And he finished in the top 5 in 11 others. During the 70s, he won 5 Winston Cups, 4 Daytona 500s, and was known for his fierce rivalry with another driver, David Pearson, who edged Petty out after a collision in the last lap of the Daytona race in 76. And he had problems. He had stomach problems. Problemas del estómago, actually. Stomach problems. He had ulcers in his stomach. He had to have a surgery in late 1978. He came back, though. Volvió. He came back. to win another Daytona 500 just a couple months later. He scored his last career victory, his 200th, at the Firecracker 400 in 1984, a couple days after his 47th birthday. Now, on June 15th, 1986, it was the Michigan International Speedway, Bill Elliott and Harry Gant. Bill Elliott beat Harry Gant to win the Miller America 400. Now, this race would go down in history, however, not because of who won it, but because it was Richard Petty's 1,000th career start. They called him the King. He was hugely popular. He retired in 1992, having accumulated, to rack up, dominant lists of races participated in, all-time wins, 200 wins, 1,184 races started, top five finishes, top 10 finishes, laps completed, laps led, all of this. So many records he held in racing, but it was this day when he had his 1,000th race. The great Richard Petty, his 1,000th race on this day in 1986. All right. Now let's go back. Let's actually jump 10 years ahead, 10 years into the future, 10 years more recent than that. And we have the death, so the untimely. She was getting old though, but the death of Ella Fitzgerald. Ella Fitzgerald was known as the First Lady of Song. Now the First Lady is like the president's wife. The First Lady. The First Lady of Song, Ella Fitzgerald, she was, of course, an American jazz and song vocalist who interpreted a lot of the sort of great classic American songs, what they call the Great American Songbook. She had a troubled childhood, like problematic, well, troubled in that things weren't easy for her. And she was discovered at an amateur singing contest in 1934. She was encouraged to go up on stage, and she went on to win an amateur singing contest and would soon go on to become a top female jazz singer, and a title that she would hold for, she would be considered among the top class for about six decades, 60 years. My gosh, it was 1958. She made history as the first African-American woman to win a Grammy Award. Of course, due to her vocal quality, her clear intonation, and a very broad range with her singing. A very broad, amplia gamma, right from the high to the lows. She could hit a very broad range of notes, and she would go on to win 13 Grammys in total. Sell more than 40 million albums. So she passed away on this day in 1996, 22 years ago today. Ella Fitzgerald passed away. She was 79 years old. 79. There you go. All right, let's see what people are talking about. Let's see here. Let's see. People are writing. Oh, boy. People are talking about the Twitter translation. Encajó las noticias bastante bien. There's a sentence. Encajó las noticias bastante bien. Bastante bien. Let's see. We have lots of people writing in with many different things. He took the news pretty well. Me alegro. I'm glad. Yeah, he took the news pretty well. That was Eduardo says she accepted. Okay, so it could be he or she. He took the news or she took the news pretty well. Maria Pilar says he fits the news pretty well. But yeah, we say to take the news. In the past, he took the news pretty well.
Carme, he took the news pretty well. Pablo, I accept the news quite well, but it was encajó él o ella. She took the news pretty well. Loli says, what's the answer? Well, you have to listen to the show, Loli, right? You got to listen to the show. Juan Antonio, he took the news pretty well. Nacho Gazpacho. Whose gazpacho is it? It's not Joe Gazpacho. It's not Joe Gazpacho. Anyway, silly joke. It's not Joe Gazpacho. It's my gazpacho. Terrible, right? Bad joke. Lots of people. He took the news pretty good. Pretty well. Gus is there. Mr. Houses. Belen Gonzalez. A lot of people. A lot of people writing in. And yeah, he took the news quite well. Also, we have people from all over the world writing in. We have Dragon Perplejo, who writes in and says, he says, I'm very grateful. Thank you from Chile. Ruben is there. He accepted the news pretty well, quite well. He took the news pretty good, pretty well. Good or well, but yeah, he took the news pretty well. We wouldn't say good. Remember the difference between good and well. He's a good player because he plays well. He took the news well because we're talking about the way he took it. We're describing the verb. This is an adverb, not an adjective. It was good news, so he took it well. People take good news well. Some people take bad news poorly. Some people take bad news better than others. Right? So it's important to know the difference here between good and well. Okay? So there you have it. There you have it, folks. That was our Twitter transition. But a lot of people are writing in about other things. Valentino says, Kyle, can you tell me the media feed where you were a couple of hours ago? I want to watch it. Yes, it's on eitb.eus. eitb.eus. Television programa, and you can find it. ¿Qué me estás contando is the name of the program. Yolanda says, so earlier you were just next to me here in Cantabria. That's right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's see. Okay. Valentino says, learning a second language is not a linear process, but a circular one. I believe Kyle Miller is the best out there when it comes to teaching English from a circular standpoint. Grammar, pronunciation, idioms, and my gosh, a lot, folks. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Valentino. That means a lot to me. Thank you very much for writing in. I appreciate your comments. So thank you so much. We're going to push forward, though. We got plenty more to talk about. Okay, we have lots to talk. Oh, Julianne says, hey, Kyle, I'd say fit the news together well. I'm not sure what he's talking about. Fit the news together? To fit it well. Encajó las noticias. He took the news. We say to take the news. But he does. Julian writes in from Bogotá, Colombia. He's over in Colombia today. Julian, thank you for your participation. Let's push forward. Why don't we go ahead with today's pronunciation?
How are you?
No. How are you?
I'm very excited.
I'm very excited. Not very. I'm very excited.
Would you like to go?
No. You have to say, would you like to go?
Pronunciation.
All right. It's time for our pronunciation, everybody. And today, okay, I talked about this, or I'm going to talk about this, I've been talking about this lately, the OT, the word, like, every day I think, yesterday I thought. So the pronunciation here in the past, think, thought, teach, taught, buy, bought, bring, brought. So, ought. So the A-U-G-H-T is pronounced ought. The O-U-G-H-T is pronounced ought. It's pronounced as if it were O-T, like the word hot. No está caliente. It's not hot. It's not a hot pot. It's a cool pot, right? No es una sartén caliente. It's not a hot pot. I thought it was a hot pot, but it's not a hot pot. Ot. So even when we have, well, we have some of the words there with O-T, but O-U-G-H-T, A-U-G-H-T, it's the same. Ot. So you have to, very often with pronunciation, you have to train your brain to ignore. You have to unlearn rules sometimes. Sometimes the rules that you've learned in school, when people learn how to learn, essentially, people learn how to learn. And sometimes what you have to do is unlearn that. You have to tell yourself to let go of the rules, to forget the rules, and to move on and accept different pronunciation options, right? So there you have it. In this case, with the OT, thought, not, caught, bought, taught, right? All of this stuff, OT, AUGHT, ought. Okay. All right, there you have it. That's today's pronunciation, everybody. We're going to go ahead. We're going to go ahead because I want to talk about a few more things today here on the Drive Time Show. Why don't we do a paragraph? I think tempo. It's been a while since we've done a paragraph. Let's have a look at our paragraph of the day.
Paragraph of the day.
Do 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 do. Paragraph of the day. Our paragraph of the day today goes like this. So I'm going to read the paragraph, then we're going to talk about it. Okay. Communication skills are by far the most important element in success in a business organization. If you want to move up in the hierarchy, then make sure you become an accomplished communicator. This may mean taking courses in diction, interpersonal communication, and public speaking, but it will pay off in the medium to long term if you know how to convey ideas, intentions, and information with ease and effectiveness. I'm going to read it again. Una vez más, no te preocupes. Una vez más, ¿vale? Communication skills are by far the most important element in success in a business organization. Las habilidades de comunicación son con mucho, right? By far. Con mucha diferencia. By far. El elemento más importante en el éxito de la organización en la organización de su negocio. Bueno, de un negocio. By far the most important element in success in a business organization. De la organización de un negocio. Right? In a business organization. Okay? Si quieres subir en la jerarquía, entonces asegúrate de que conviertes en un excelente comunicador. If you want to move up in the hierarchy, then make sure you become an accomplished communicator. An accomplished communicator. Un excelente comunicador. An excellent communicator. This may mean taking courses in diction, interpersonal communication, and public speaking. But it will pay off. It will pay off in the long run. It will pay off, well, it'll pay off in the medium term, right? Pero se recompensará a medio y largo plazo. It will pay off in the medium to long term if you know how to convey ideas, transmitir ideas. If you know how to convey ideas, intentions, and information with ease and effectiveness. Transmitir ideas. Transmitir. To convey. Transmitir, to convey. We don't normally say to transmit. To transmit is like a electronic signal or a radio transmitter.
But people convey ideas. Okay? Transmitir ideas. Okay? Okay, to convey ideas, intentions, and information with ease and effectiveness. Efectividad. Effectiveness. So there's also, some people confuse effectiveness and efficiency. Be careful with that. If effective means it gets the job done. If something is effective, like if I want to extinguish a fire, apagar un fuego, to put out a fire, to extinguish a fire, imagine it's just a candle, una vela, and I want to put out a candle, apagar una vela, and I take a bucket of water, 2 liters, 3 liters, 4 liters of water, and I dump it on top of the fire. It's very effective. It works. It's very effective, but it's not efficient. So the efficient solution is one that accomplishes the goal but uses the minimum resource required. So an efficient solution would be, using a drop of water straight on top of the flame. Whereas both are effective because they get the job done, but efficient gets the job done using the least possible resource, right? So that's something that you want to be aware of, the difference between efficient and effective. Okay, we have more people writing in. We have more people writing in, but we're almost out of time. Yeah. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening today. We're just about out of time, so we will finish there. But remember, I'll be back in a couple of minutes with the show called Inglés Online TVE. And today we're going to be exclusive to radio. There will be no video. There's no YouTube feed today. I apologize for that. However, we will be live on the radio, of course, and we'll be back to YouTube on Monday, el lunes. Volvemos el lunes. Ya sabes. Okay, have a wonderful weekend, everybody. And we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
El próximo martes 19 de junio, la Asociación para el Progreso de la Dirección celebra su tercer Congreso Nacional de Recursos Humanos en el Palacio Municipal de Congresos de Madrid. Desde las 9 de la mañana, Baugan te espera en su stand, conferencias relacionadas con talento, cultura y transformación digital, la gestión del cambio, el desafío silencioso para el director de personas. Martes 19 de junio, tercer Congreso Nacional de Recursos Humanos en el Palacio Municipal de Congresos de Madrid, Avenida Capital de España 7. ¿Tienes niños? Pues, ¿qué mejor forma que aprendan inglés que haciendo lo que más les gusta? En nuestros campamentos de verano en inglés se divertirán participando en un sinfín de variadísimas actividades en un entorno seguro y 100% angloparlante, acompañados en todo momento de monitores Vaughan. Campamentos de verano para niños, con un 10% de descuento. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com. Este verano, no abandones tu inglés.
Los cursos intensivos de verano de Vaughan son diferentes a otros cursos intensivos de verano. En nuestros cursos intensivos de verano, nosotros no metemos entre 10 y 12 alumnos en cada clase. Nosotros tenemos un máximo de 6 alumnos por clase. En nuestros cursos intensivos